Here's two stanzas from one of his songs. I like it. It's actually like an 8-minute song, and so I'm only reading just two stanzas from it. Can you feel it in your bones? Something isn't right here. Something that you've always known but don't know why. Because every time the sun goes down, we face another night here, waiting for the world to spin around just to survive. But when you see the morning sun burning through a silver mist, don't you want to thank someone? Don't you want to thank someone for this? Don't you ever wonder why, in spite of all that's wrong here, there's still so much that goes so right and beauty abounds? Because sometimes when you walk outside, the air is full of song here. The thunder rolls and the baby sighs and the rain comes down. And when you see the spring has come and it warms you like a mother's kiss, don't you want to thank someone? Don't you want to thank someone for this? I read those stanzas because I think they do an okay job revealing sort of a disparity, a contradiction almost that's in this world, that the world is a really nice place to live, but the world's a really terrible place to live. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? You've probably been on this earth longer than a day, so you know that sometimes it's really nice here and sometimes it's really terrible here. It just is. It's easy to know that this world is not our home, right? You just got to turn on the TV, just to walk from your car to the grocery store and the rain just starts pouring down on your head, or maybe from your car to church as you're walking towards the building. And it just, it's a terrible place sometimes. There's evil things that happen. There are evil people. Just things don't go well. But then at the same time, it's really obvious to know this world is awesome, right? Like a sunrise, or a sunset, or something really cool, or just thinking of like when you actually have a home and you're thinking of home and how nice and warm it is, or just how perfectly crafted this world is for humanity. Like NASA made that announcement a few months ago about how they found that, like, what was it, 8 Earth-similar planets, but if you look at the data, they're nothing like Earth in any way. They just happen to fall in some really, really, really broad spectrums, parameters, and Earth is so finely tuned and crafted that it's just a miracle that one exists for us to live on. This world, it's not a great place, but it's a really great place. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense to humans, to someone who's living. And did you know the Bible points out both sides of this quite often, especially in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, you'll quite often find Psalms that talk about how awesome life is, and they'll also will talk about how terrible life is. You get both sides of that story in the Bible, and especially in the book of Psalms. That's a good thing. That means that the Bible and Psalms in particular make sense with reality, and they make sense with actually what we experience in life. And today we're starting a pretty short sermon series on the book of Psalms, which are really just the ancient prayers of God's people. They're prayers written down a long time ago for us, and that's what the book of Psalms are. It was the ancient hymnal that the Jewish people used before Christianity sort of came on the scene, the New Testament came around. We know that the Psalms are important, right? Like, you don't do it as much anymore because now we have these devices. These devices have the whole Bible in 50 bajillion translations. I mean, I've got like the Greek and Hebrew on here. But when before smartphones, when you wanted to travel, sort of pocket-sized Bible, and you got a smaller version, you usually got one that had the New Testament in it. But what was included with the New Testament? Psalms, right? I've got one right here. You can tell the goal was to get it as small as possible, right? And yet, they also included Psalms in this little tiny Bible. We know that the book of Psalms is important, even though it's in that scary Old Testament place that we don't like to go very often because we're good Christian folk, even though those are God's words too, and the God of the Old Testament is exactly the same as the God in the New Testament. But we don't venture very far there very often, but Psalms is a great book just to talk about real life. The whole Bible is, but Psalms in particular is we're going to talk about now. We're going to cover 4 weeks, so it's a short sermon series. 4 weeks. Next week will not be in the Psalms. I'm going to give you the intro to the series right now. We're going to take a break because we have a guest speaker coming. He grew up at Ridgeview Christian Church, is a minister elsewhere, and he's coming back into town and is going to speak for us. But then after that, we'll have 3 more sermons on the Psalms. I'm not going to walk through the Psalms because I think that'd be a terrible idea. It's great to walk through the Psalms on your own, but as in this format, with me preaching, I think it's a terrible idea to walk through the Psalms. Because there's 150 of them, so 3 years later, we might be done. You know, that's if nothing else comes up. So that would be a really bad diet to eat of the Bible, is just one type of material for that long. I'm going to try to, instead of taking a psalm and talking about it, I'm going to try to talk about the Psalms, so that instead of me trying to sort of force feed you a psalm, I'm theoretically giving you the tools that you can feed yourself the Psalms. Does that make sense? So that's the idea here, is that I'll teach you sort of how to read the Psalms. And the reason why there's going to be four sermons in this series is because I'm going to classify three types of Psalms. You can break the Psalms up in many other different ways. There are lots of ways to do it. Pretty much if you ask a different person, they'll come up with different ways. A scholar named Brueggemann came up with this three-part division for Psalms that I think works really well, and so I'm going to go with that. And it goes really well for the life of the church and the life of a Christian to read sort of in these three types of Psalms. And the three types of Psalms are Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and Psalms of new orientation or reorientation. Orientation is when you're oriented. Everything is right. Life is good. Life is fair. Life is hunky-dory. It's pie in the sky. Nothing can touch me. Everything is A-OK. That's Psalms of orientation. Psalms of disorientation are the other side, when life's not so much fun, and actually it doesn't really seem like God's very close, and people are wanting to hurt you, and it feels like the world is out to get you, and it's not so happy right now. That's Psalms of disorientation. There are actually quite a few psalms, a lot of psalms, from that perspective. And then there's a third perspective. There's the orientation of life is great, to disorientation of life's not so great, and reorientation, new orientation of, you know what? Even though life's not perfect, God's still great. And he saved me from that life that's not so great. So those are the three types of psalms you'll find when you read through the book of Psalms. And so today I'm going to talk about just an overview of all three of them, and then in the weeks to come we'll talk about just one of those types at a time. So first, Psalms of orientation. An example psalm is Psalm number 1, the first psalm. That is what we heard at the beginning of service today. I'll go ahead and read it right now. A lot of psalms are handy because they're nice and short and easy to read. Some are longer, though, but here's a nice short one. Psalm 1 goes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Everything is fair, right? The good guys are winning, the bad guys are losing, things are as they should be. That's what that psalm is, right? Is that God blesses the good guys, and the bad guys don't even get to stand up in the day of judgment. Like, that's fair, right? That's fair. It's good to praise God when things are fair. When good things get good things and bad things get bad things. It's good to praise God when things are working as they should, right? There's other psalms in this classification where they talk about, like, nature, where it praises God because the sun rose today. And that's praiseworthy for God, right? Because it's great when things are working like they should. Like, you don't want things to not be working. It's like a car that breaks down. You don't usually sit around praising the car because it's working right. You just get really mad. Instead, the psalm's the other way. When the car is working right, you're praising God because things are as they should be. That's what the Psalms of orientation are. Things are oriented properly. That's what's going on here. And when things are going right, you should be praising God and thanking him for things not being broken down. That's what's going on here. In the popular hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," you familiar with that song? The first line of that song is sort of encompassing of Psalms of orientation. "When peace like a river attendeth my way." When things are peaceful, when things are good, when things are smooth sailing. And that's the emotion of this type of psalm. Praise God because he's in charge and things aren't broke. That's this type of psalm. There's another type of psalm, though. The next line of "It Is Well With My Soul," "When sorrows like sea billows roll." When things not so much fun. When things are not going well. An example psalm is Psalm 13. I'll try and read it with some emotion, maybe more of the psalm. instead of just the wooden reading that we so often do. But it's, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Did you catch the beginning of that psalm? Of the, seriously, God, where are you? Because you ain't here. That's what the beginning of the psalm is. That's an emotion of lots of psalms. Have you ever felt that way in your life? I mean, it's okay to admit that, because the psalms do, and that's God's words for us. Like, it's okay to be honest, to be like, you know what, it doesn't feel like God's very close right now. Life just is not fun. It's sort of what, if you ask somebody how they're doing, they're actually honest with you, it's sort of that kind of psalm. It's what's actually going on in life. And that kind of prayer takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? The kind of prayer of, God, I feel like I'm praying to nothing because I don't feel you whatsoever. That prayer takes a lot of faith. But number one, it makes sure that you have the faith that you're on good enough terms with God to actually talk to him that way. Number two, it takes enough faith that even though you don't feel like he's listening to you, that you have the faith that he is anyway. That's a lot of faith required in some of these prayers. But these psalms, and there are many of them, teach us that we can approach God and tell him honestly how we feel sometimes. They give voice to that emotion that sometimes we feel like we're not supposed to have when we come to church. Do you know what I'm talking about? That sometimes the church gathering is not the greatest place for unhappy people. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not on purpose. It just sort of happens, and we don't mean for that to happen, but it's kind of like we sing these praise songs, and everyone's happy, and everyone's, you know, smiling, and no one really wants to hear how you're really doing when they ask how you're doing. That sort of thing. It sometimes feels like you're only supposed to be happy here. But the Psalms teach us that actually worshiping God and approaching God is just also for when you're not feeling very happy, for when life's not very much fun, when it's stressful, when things are hurting. Many of the psalms are written for when it feels like adversaries are all around, and you know, I can't take a single step without somebody gonna stab me in the back. That's many of the emotions of the psalms. Or many of the psalms have that emotion. But notice in these psalms, especially that one we just read, the person's still talking to God, though, right? They're not just saying, you know, life stinks. Might as well not even talk to God. They're saying, God, life stinks. I feel like I'm not talking to anybody right now, but I'm going to keep talking to you anyway. That's the important thing we learned from these psalms, that God can handle any emotion, even the worst of emotions you can think of. There's one psalm that the author talks about how he wants to steal the babies of his enemies and kill them. That's a terrible emotion, right? But God is big enough to handle even the worst of our emotions. And so the psalmist, we learn from these psalms that just don't stop talking to God. Keep talking to him no matter how you feel, because he's big enough to handle it. And if you don't give up, you stick it out with this, you hang on with God long enough, usually you come to the other side of the story, right? And that's what this next type of psalm is for, the Psalm of New Orientation. It's kind of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. The kind of the whole chorus is, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's sort of the idea of the Psalms of new or reorientation. An example psalm is Psalm 40. These psalms are usually a bit longer because they talk about overcoming some things, but here's Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you've not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you've not required. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance and the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me, for evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. This type of psalm is when everything seemed terrible, but God showed up and it's going to be okay. Now, if you notice, that psalm doesn't say that everything's perfect now. He still talks about enemies that surround him and things that are wrong in his life. But he says, I like the line where it says, I want to speak of words of what you've done to me, but there are just too many words. There's too much to tell people about how much God has done that he just can't finish saying it all. I like those lines there. And he says, I'm not going to hide what God's done for me from the congregation. I'm going to tell everybody about it. So the writer of the psalm, though, still doesn't have a perfect life, but he knows that God's got it all under control and everything's going to be okay. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord because God will save the day. And he saved the day. One thing these psalms teach us is they look back at thousands of years ago. He saved the day so many times for so many other people that what makes you think you're so special that he's not going to save the day for you? He's going to. There are times in my life that I've written down some prayers before, and one prayer I happened to find when I was trying to sort some files, and it was a time when my life was in one of those disorientation times, and I read the prayer and I started crying because I was not happy with my life at that point in my life. But thinking back on it, looking back, I'm like, wow, God orchestrated everything in my life. God had it all under control. It stunk at that moment, but he opened so many doors and laid out so many paths with what was going on right then that it's okay. That it was okay now. And now I can sing a psalm of new orientation because I look back at my life and say, it was messed up then, but God's got it under control and it will be okay. You had it okay then. And so this type of psalm is the realization that God's going to pull everything together and he'll see you through. And he has seen you through so far. And so as we start this series in the Psalms, I encourage you to look at the Psalms. I encourage you to look through them, and because it's the hymnal for God's people. Before we thought of making our own hymnals, this was the hymnal that was used. These are the words. These are the ancient prayers. These are prayers written down for us to give to God. They're God's words because they're in Scripture, right? But what's cool to think about is they're the words that God gave us to give back to him. And so these are the prayers that we can pray to God. And in our faith tradition, the Christian church, and probably if you're not from Christian church all of your life, you've probably had it too if you're sort of an evangelical Protestant kind of realm, it's weird to read written prayers, right? Like, it feels very Catholic when you do it, and you're like, oh, that's got to be bad. But the Psalms are written for us to pray. That's what they're for. They are the ancient prayers. If you don't have the words to pray, number one, Romans teaches that the Spirit will pray for us on our behalf. But number two, the Psalms are filled with prayers for any emotion you could ever have, any emotion you're going through, any hurt you're currently feeling, any situation you think that you're in right now. There's a psalm for that. It's like there's an app for that, there's a psalm for that. And you can pray that, because some days you're going to be in the feeling of orientation where things are working. Life's working well. The sun came up today. It's a good day. God has acted. Let us rejoice. There will be days, though, that in seasons of life when it's not like that right now. And you know what? I don't feel like God's listening to me, but I'm going to pray to him anyway. Because even though I don't feel it, I know mentally he's still there and listening, so I will praise God. And then there's the Psalms of reorientation where it's, I'm okay now. God's still on my side. He's working it out. The steadfast love and his mercies never cease, so I'm all right. So every emotion regarding all those are in these Psalms. It's a book of 150 prayers for us to pray, or songs for us to sing. And so we can give those prayers to God. What's cool about them is they teach us that you don't have to have it all together to pray to God. You don't have to feel like everything's right to pray to God. And you can just give him whatever's on your heart, which is nice. And so no matter what, you can sing along with followers of God for going back thousands of years, more than thousands of years, hundreds more than thousands of years. You can go back with these people who followed God and pray the same prayers as them. Because human experience, we've got newer technology, but the experience hasn't changed that much. We just have, you know, like things that glow now. But our hearts, it's quite often still the same, and we can pray those prayers. Some example psalms. If you feel lonely, you could pray Psalm 25. If you feel attacked, feel like you've got enemies around, you could pray Psalm 3. If you feel trapped in life, you could pray Psalm 5. If you're happy that God saved you from a troubling situation, there's Psalm 18. If you're just excited about creation because it's cool and God's made a really neat world for us to live in, you could pray Psalm 24. If you feel like there's no hope, there's Psalm 143. If you just feel tired, there's Psalm 42. If you're trying to find the right words to praise God because you're not sure what they are, but you just feel like he's super close, there's Psalm 84. If you've realized that you've messed up big time and you want to say to God, sorry, Psalm 51. There's all sorts of psalms and all kinds of ways to approach God in this. Do you get the picture of what psalms are for? Do you think maybe this week you could open up a psalm and find one that fits your emotion? A lot of them are short. There's a couple longer ones, but a lot of them are short, and you can read it in just a few minutes and be like, you know what, this fits where I'm at right now. I'm going to pray this to God. If it doesn't fit where you're at, spend an extra 2 more minutes. That sounds scary, but it's not because it's only 2 minutes. And just read the next one and see if that one fits your emotion. And if it does, then pray that one to God. So just, these are psalms that we can, these are prayers that we can pray. And so just pray them. As I close, I'll invite you that if you'd like to get to know a God better who can handle any emotion, and is God in charge of everything, he's the one who makes the world fair. He's also the one that makes the world not fair. And I'm so glad he doesn't make the world fair, because if we got what was fair, we'd all get what's coming to us, which is not good. And so he makes the world fair. He also makes it not fair. And if you want to get to that, know that God, the God of the Psalms are praying to, feel free to talk to me as we stand and sing in a minute. But right now, let's pray. Father, we are thankful that there is this book of prayers for us to give back to you. Thank you for giving us these words, these things that address real human life, because you are a God of the real life. So God, may we pray these things to you. May we find something that resonates in us that we can give back to you. Because God, you are our help, even if sometimes you feel far off. You are a deliverer, even though we may not have been delivered from some things in our life yet. You are the one in charge. You make the sun rise. You make the sun set. You are worthy of our praise. So God, may we pray some of these hymns this week. God, be with us in this place. Help us to know that you are the God who can handle anything on our hearts. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this closing song together, please. By Jesus, I love thee.